This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. If you sit down with Netflix this weekend and decide to binge on, say, my particular current favorite, Narcos, for example, you're using cloud computing. And that computing is happening in huge data centers built largely in rural America. But despite massive construction, the one thing that new infrastructure for data centers hasn't brought with it? Jobs. Quentin Hardy is the deputy tech editor at the New York Times, and he wrote about data centers. He joins me now from the newsroom. You might hear a few people typing in the background. Quentin, it's good to have you on.
Great to be here.
I want to read a little bit of this story that you wrote. We are talking about a place called Boydton, Virginia. And I'm just going to read this description. Six unmarked hangars each hold tens of thousands of computer servers. Microsoft has cleared enough scrub trees and vines for at least 15 of these buildings, and six more are already under construction. This is this place, a rural community in Virginia. Tell me about what's going on there.
You are there or what? What that guy, me, is talking about is this phenomenal build-out that isn't being seen by most of the country, that's going on among the biggest cloud computing companies, companies like Amazon and Microsoft, to create really an entirely new kind of computing infrastructure around the world, but particularly America. And what they're doing is taking what had been standard computer facilities and taking them up to an enormous scale using what's called cloud computing and certain kinds of software we don't need to get into, but it creates this incredible capability to run supercomputing or cheap computing or really whatever kind of computing you want to mix and match to anyone who's got an internet connection.
So these are sort of the servers where, you know, I take a picture and it gets stored in the cloud. That's where it is actually physically being.
You go to Netflix and browse, that's cloud computing. You call down your songs, that's cloud computing. And what makes this so important economically is that, I mean, think about a dirt road versus a highway. They're both roads, but highways and curved bridges and all the stuff that allowed big trucks and fast cars and then brought on fast food and, you know, container cargo shipments and suburbs and all the other stuff that went with it was really like a different economic framework. It was an infrastructure that changed things. And I think that's what these cloud computing centers are.
But they're a very particular 21st century kind of infrastructure, because if you were around the time of the Industrial Revolution building factories or even later power plants, they brought tens of thousands of jobs with them. What happens here?
Well, this is so interesting because they promise the future that makes many people wary, which is a future of fantastic technology and yet very, very few jobs. And that's what they are. I mean, inside those many, many buildings Microsoft has in just one location, and there are many others, there's maybe 20 or 30 serious workers. By serious, I mean highly paid technical people. And then there are some security people and some groundskeepers. But this is in a town where the factory used to employ 300 people or 500 people. And they're going into the same places. They're going into the Rust Belt, the former industrial America. And they like those sites because there's already railheads or there's fiber or there's electrical. And they can go in there and they create our economic future. They just don't create a lot of jobs.
Yeah, believe it or not, my great-great-grandfather was from Boydton, Virginia, where you wrote about this Microsoft
data center. Really? A tobacco
guy. Yeah, and that was tobacco country a really long time ago. Mm-hmm. When you talk to people in these towns, did they think jobs were coming with these data centers?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, somebody's coming in with hundreds of millions of dollars in economic development. The natural connection is there's going to be lots of work. And as you say, this was tobacco country, and they took that tobacco settlement money and put a big chunk of it into zinc and fiber, thinking that would create industrial development and that will create jobs. And instead, they have brought the future, and it is bringing some tax dollars. And they tell me at the gas station there's an extra lunch table for the construction workers who are there for now, and there are construction jobs for now. But long term, they embody our future, which is fantastic levels of technology, and work is very problematic.
There's another interesting wrinkle in the stories you've been reporting, which is a lot of these companies don't want to be seen as energy hogs. So there's sort of a secondary boon for the green energy industry that comes alongside this development.
And they are not energy hogs. They are just mammoth consumers of energy at a pretty efficient level. And Amazon in particular, but the others, are acutely aware of their public image. I say Amazon because Greenpeace wrote a report a few years ago dinging them for being particularly dirty. And they've made efforts since then to show how green they are. So in a way, you know, the way I said highways created suburbs and fast food and all sorts of things people didn't expect, I think the collective demand from what the tech sector is doing is really changing the economics of alternative energy. It's creating demand that wasn't there before, and so there's going to be a much bigger build, and that'll affect prices.
Quentin Hardy, Deputy Tech Editor of the New York Times, thank you very much.
Great to be here.